Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. 10:07 in the beautiful city of St. Louis. Welcome into the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, and Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy, filling in for Frank Cusimano, who I believe, are we tracking flights like when a college basketball coach, there's an opening, we always go to that local airport, like the Columbia Regional Airport, and we say which coaches are coming in from different other college towns to potentially interview for a job. Brian Hoffman, do we know, is Frank Cusimano on his way back from Cancun?
To my knowledge, yes. At some point today, he's on his way back.
So he'll be back tomorrow.
Yes.
Martin Kilcoin already headed to Milwaukee. The Cardinals have a workout. I believe it's around 2, 3, 4 o'clock.
Sounds about right.
Right around there. Yep. I know that's kind of a large window, but we'll have some coverage on Fox 2 tonight as Martin is in Milwaukee getting ready for, do we call it opening day?
Yes.
I call it opening day.
It's opening still opening day.
Opening,
yes.
There's like four or five opening days, but that is one of the opening days.
This is the opening day for MLB as a
and
whole.
And for a full set of fantasy baseball, so that's opening day.
Speaking.
There you go.
Speaking of fantasy.
And I got my Fernando Tatis, picked him late, and now he's on the opening day roster. Could
Smart.
Not be a better scenario there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Get your fantasy baseball questions on the text line, and us here in the studio as well, 855-282-8255, because Craig Mish, he's a big South Florida radio guy. I'm sure we all know of him by now because he was big, especially last offseason. He's in with the Marlins, so we had a lot of information on not just Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Zuna, Christian Yelich, as they were all traded last offseason. But with the Cardinals being down there, I feel like he's almost become a de facto Cardinals beat reporter. And then I'm thinking about it. After last offseason, because the Marlins really were the center of the baseball universe, not because they were good, but because they were trading three elite, talented outfielders. Now the Marlins are boring again. They traded JT Realmuto as well. And so if you're Craig Mish, if you're down there in South Florida and you're a baseball fan and you have Roger Dean Stadium, you could go to one side and you could cover the Marlins. You could walk about a football field and you could cover the Cardinals. And I would think now it's probably a lot more fun to cover the old Redbirds.
And it's like a paint drying type job being the Marlins beat writer. Outside of, yes, they are active in the trade market and really are really successful about not getting much in return for their superstars. They've done that for years now. I'm not surprised that he kind of wants to cling on to the Cardinal beat. We have some interesting storylines, and like you said, the Marlins are probably going to be kind of boring. I don't know what the over-under on the amount of offensive players you can name. I think 4.5 would be the number. I don't know if I could name 5. It'd
well,
be tough.
Speaking of over-unders, because I do like to gamble, but I also think it's fun just to check the numbers to see how Vegas perceives different teams, different players and whatnot. And I have a buddy who always likes to put some bets down for the regular season win totals. Now, I don't like making those bets in part because I like the instant gratification of making a bet and then you win it. You have to have a lot of discipline.
Either win or lose and
right.
You move on.
But you have to have a lot of discipline to take your money and put it down and then wait 6 or 7 months and you're looking at it there in your account. But he took the under on the Marlins, which was something like 63.5 wins. So
wow.
They're already saying, look, you're going to lose 100 games.
They're really bad. On paper, they're really bad.
I mean, them and the Orioles have to be the two worst teams in baseball, you would think. But Brian Hoffman, when telling me we had Craig Mish on, he said that Craig Mish and we'll ask him about this, but put a bet down for the Cardinals to win the World Series this year.
Yes, I'm trying to find what their odds
I looked it up.
Were. What are their odds, Chuck?
Well, on mybookie.ag, fine sponsor of this program, this morning I'm checking it, the Cardinals plus 1,400 to win the World Series. So put down a bet of $100, you win 1,400. Put down $10, you win $140. So the favorites in baseball, the favorites are all in the American League. Red Sox, Astros, Yankees, all plus 600 to win the World Series. And how about we play a little game here? Guess how many teams do you think and what teams in the National League, according to mybookie.ag, do you feel have better odds to win the World Series than your St. Louis Cardinals?
Out of the NL?
Out of the National League.
So let's see the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Dodgers are the favorite in the National League at plus 700.
Would the Nationals be ahead of them?
The Nationals were not. I believe they were plus 2,000.
I've seen a lot of projections are high on Washington.
I can see that.
So Milwaukee. What,
I know Pecota doesn't like him, but
is Milwaukee in there?
Milwaukee, basically right there with the Cardinals, but just a little bit better.
I would
at
say
plus 1,300.
I would say the Cubs.
The Cubs plus 1,200.
Wow.
Would the Phillies be in front of them?
The Phillies are the fourth team at plus 1,000. So according to mybookie.ag, the Cardinals have the fifth best odds in the National League.
Are the Phillies the second best odds in the National League to win the World Series?
They are.
Wow.
And I wonder if that's because they're looking at the National League East, and you see three really good teams in the National League Central, and the Cubs, Brewers, and the Cardinals. The other day on the Midday Grind, all these days run together, but we had David Kaplan on, who's a big Chicago guy, radio, does all the college basketball, but really knows his stuff. NBC Sports Chicago, doing the pre and post for Cubs games. And I have to say, when we were just discussing the Cubs, he kind of sold me on the fact that I don't think you can ever really sleep on the Cubs because they're the Cubs. And it's Cards Cubs. We always think about them. We dislike them. It's the big rivalry. They won the World Series a few years ago. But when you think about the fact, and he explained this, that they won 95 games last year with Chris Bryant, the former MVP, being a shell of himself for, what, half the season at least. You basically got nothing out of Yu Darvish. You got almost nothing out of Tyler Chatwood. You got almost nothing second half of the season from your supposed closer in Brendan Morrow. Wilson Contreras had one of the most underachieving seasons in baseball out of the catcher position.
But Javi Baez had one of the better
seasons. He did.
He probably won't replicate, and you saw Darvish first pitch of spring. That's a bomber. So I think the division gotten better, and I think the rotation gotten older and worse. So I don't know if I see them as legit. I wouldn't be surprised if they were a contender. I wouldn't put any money on them as far as, you know, long-term season making the NLCS or the World Series.
And you also had all of the drama with Addison Russell. So yeah. I don't know what he will provide baseball-wise. But my point is more so, and I'm not picking them to win the World Series, but we were discussing regular season win totals. And with the Cubs at 88, if they had all the drama and all the underperformance I just spoke to and still won 95, isn't it fair to say we're probably sleeping on them a little bit, and maybe Vegas is sleeping on them a little bit to put them at 88? If you just expect half of those things I just said to be a little bit better, I mean, that's a 95-win team coming off last year with all those issues.
I agree with you. I'm the one person here who thinks the Cubs are still the favorite, and not here, but most people that think – I still think the Cubs are the favorite for that same reason. They won 95 games. I was reading over the weekend how they – acted like they lost and they were barely 500 in the offseason, the way they address things within the organization. Well, there's less beer, we're going to have less this, you got to show up at on time. I'm like, really? This isn't a team that was in complete disarray. They won 95 games, for crying out loud, a year ago. With all the issues you just spoke of, there is still a boatload of talent on there, and Rizzo wasn't great throughout the year. He can bounce back and be an MVP guy just by snapping the fingers. If Bryant is healthy, he's an MVP candidate just by showing up and being healthy. I'm not sleeping on the Cubs at all. In fact, I think they're the favorite to win the division. A lot of people outside of St. Louis loving the Cardinals, and I'm still cautiously optimistic about what's going on there. But the Cubs thing, I don't get some of the I don't know. They act like they've never made the playoffs before, and it was like the end of the world. I'm like, you guys won 95 games, and if you go back, they put Joe Maddon on notice, and you want to go, really? He's won 90 games every year he's been there. What are you trying to say with that organization right now? I don't get that one.
You wonder with the Brewers as well. I'm just kind of looking at opening day probables. And I know the Brewers are built with a great lineup and a perceived great bullpen. However, if you have all these injuries with a Jeremy Jeffress, with Corey Knebel, you could see why they'd be interested in Craig Kimbrel. But when you look at the course of an entire regular season, I feel like the Brewers are built for the postseason with that bullpen. You are starting a guy like Julius Chacin on opening day. And it's not like their rotation is full of these guys that are going to eat 200 innings. So it's kind of weird because I love the way the Brewers were built for the postseason last year. I just don't know if that starting pitching can carry you through the regular season, because you can't use Josh Hader the way you use him in the playoffs throughout the regular season. You can only throw him out there about 55 games if he's going to go multiple innings.
Agree 100% with the starting pitching with the Brewers. Chacin is a starter. Yeah, he was really good last year. He's never proven that he can do this on a consistent basis and be a number one. Jimmy Nelson's been dealing with arm issues, and they keep talking about he's going to be an ace, he's going to be an ace. Well, he's injured off and on.
And so Chase Anderson. A couple years ago, he was supposed to be the ace of the staff, and he was going back and forth between the pen this spring based on who else is healthy in the rotation.
So what's the kid's name? Woodruff is the other kid. Counting on him. He's got great stuff, but it's in such a small sample size, and over the course of a complete 162-game season, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain 200 innings and multiple strikeouts and answer the bell every fifth day without having some kind of arm injury. Then you throw in the issues they're having within the back of their bullpen right now with question marks. That's a big, big question mark right there. I still think they got boatloads of talent out on the field that you just go, well, just by showing up, they're going to be real competitive. If they get decent pitching, they're in the mix for a wild card. Are they? I still don't put them on the level with the Cubs myself, just because I think of the Cubs just have so much more potential that's been untapped.
But the Cubs, sorry to interrupt,
their
rotation is based upon what they've done what those guys individually have done 3, 4, 5 years ago. Hamels, Darvish. I'd honestly, I know this is crazy. I'd be just as comfortable with a Milwaukee Brewers starting rotation with that bullpen than I would with a maybe slightly greater rotation in the Cubs with an absolutely miserable bullpen. I think the Cubs are going to have huge issues in pitching, and I think Milwaukee is just too good offensively. To me, as good as that division is, I see Milwaukee still hands down being the best team in that division. So there were question marks last year with their pitching rotation. There have been for years, and they seem to be able to get it done just with that offense. And great. I mean, Council's a really good manager at just being able to find ways to utilize that bullpen without killing their arms. And I agree with you on Hader, though. You got to be able to find another guy that can give you similar to what Hader can, because you can't throw him out there every couple days and expect them to be, not injured.
But aren't the Cubs vulnerable offensively, too? It's weird to think that, because you've looked at them and you've seen the power names, and you think, oh, that's a lot of home runs. Wilson Contreras was a shell of himself the second half last year, and it's believed it could be because of overuse. And what's Joe Maddon said this offseason? That's not changing. He's throwing him out there as often as this year as he did last season. At least that's the plan. Anthony Rizzo's slugging has dropped now the last three seasons. You expect Bryant to be healthy, but shoulder injuries can be tricky for a hitter long term. We saw it with Scott Rowland here in St. Louis. He was never the same after his shoulder issues started to creep up. You're missing Addison Russell for the first portion of the season due to his off-the-field issues. Javi Baez had an 8-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio last season. Maybe he improves upon that and he even gets even better. That's possible, but if that stays the same, how can you expect similar results? And their outfield offensively is not good. Even Kaplan admitted, Jason Hayward, you know what you're getting offensively out of him. Albert Almora Jr. was not the player that they anticipated him being last year.
He's intriguing, though.
They had
to
send Ian Happ down already this season to work on strikeouts. And Kyle Schwarber is kind of a better Matt Adams, who gets on base more, is capable of taking more walks, but is still a bit of a disaster in the field. And that doesn't even consider the total lack of depth in their rotation that's dependent on aged arms. Guys like John Lester and Cole Hamels, and their bullpen right now is kind of empty without a suitable guy in the back end, and Brandon Morrow. He's out for the start of the season. It's just, I don't think the Cubs are, I understand you positioning them as favorites, but they are deeply vulnerable.
I see those holes, but I could also see the holes here in St. Louis. We talked about the holes, and why, you know, we're always best case scenario here in St. Louis, but what if Wainwright just can't pitch? I mean, remember this time a year ago? I'm healthy. I'm good. He was so dominant in spring training, and two starts in, he can't throw.
Well, and it's alarming when he did get back to somewhat of form at the later part of the year, and his post-game and pre-game interviews, he talks about how he has to have his arm at the perfect angle. And so when you're talking about moving your arm millimeters one way or the other.
I get up every morning. My back hurts. I get the same age.
But I'm saying, I guess he's not going to be a huge contributor. I guess I don't know what your expectation level of him is. But you're talking moving his arm a millimeter left or right, and that could cause a shoulder issue or somebody to hit a three-run bomb. That, to me, I'm not confident and comfortable with that. Luckily, I mean, we do have plenty of depth.
The other thing I am concerned about with the St. Louis team right now is Andrew Miller healthy.
Yeah.
He was lit up two different times and couldn't finish an inning in spring training. And we know the history there. We know how good he can be when he's right, but we also know when he's not right, he's useless to you. That's a big hole if he's not there.
And the Cubs, just again, defensively, with Baez at short and Zobrist at second,
that's not a good defense up the middle.
I think the Cardinals, my concern with them is infield depth. I think, and they're especially vulnerable at the start of the year. Well, for the whole year, they're vulnerable because you don't have a backup shortstop, not one you trust. So you need to hope DeJong stays healthy, which he broke a wrist last year. And for the start of the year, you have no one to back up Matt Carpenter if his back bothers him again at the start of the season. And then he's out for any amount
of time.
Drew Robinson, come on now. With Jed Jerko injured. Yeah. Other than that, I'm as confident in the Cardinals this year as I have been in a long time. I think they're set. They have a very good rotation. I understand your concerns for Wainwright, but they're already mitigating by putting him fifth in their rotation. Mm-hmm. They're already saying we don't know what to expect from him, but this is where we feel he's best suited for at least the beginning of the season. They smartly set the rotation that Wainwright's not going to be, you know, readily dependent on. This offense, I think, has a potential to be just shy of dynamic. When you have a healthy mix of a couple different roles, you have speed guys at the bottom of it with Colton Wong and Harrison Bader. You have guys towards the top who can get on base and Matt Carpenter, and if you bat Paul Goldschmidt second, even better. And guys in the middle who can go gap to gap, DeJong, Ozuna, Yadier Molina. This is an offense from top to bottom the Cardinals haven't featured in a while. I feel like that's being somewhat underscored a bit locally.
And talking about the lineup, we always love to discuss this. And
who's
in
second?
Well, yeah. And look, with Goldschmidt hitting second, which doesn't bother me at all. It wouldn't bother
me. It's annoying, though, because you want your big bopper hitting three or four. But I agree, second, he'll be just fine.
But here's my point. I don't care if Goldie hits second or if he hits third. But basically, when you're thinking about that, you're putting him second, and you're probably not loving Paul DeJong hitting third. You like Marcell Ozuna batting fourth. But I was thinking, and again, Jim, you brought up the fact that sometimes we're best-case scenario. And I'm just looking at this very reasonably. I don't know what's going to happen from a Harrison Bader or Colton Wong this year. But I feel like every year there's always at least one player who does a lot better than you expect. There's always a player who's going to do a lot worse than you expect. Yeah. Like, just book that
this
year for the Cardinals.
Love averages, right?
I mean, would it surprise you if you could grab either Colton Wong or Harrison Bader, one of those speed guys you mentioned, if they start the year off really strong, would it surprise you that much if all of a sudden they're batting second? You know, again, a month into the season, Goldie's at three, Marcell Ozuna's batting cleanup, DeJong feels a lot better at that five spot, a power guy, but strikes out, not a huge average guy. Doesn't that feel like, again, if Colton Wong, which I don't think we can bank on him taking what happened offensively basically when Mike Schilt took over, can he do that over the course of a full season? Can he stay healthy? Those are legitimate questions with Colton Wong. But if he could be that type of offensive player, It would not shock me if somebody like a Wong or a Harrison Bader, if they started the year strong, could be in that two hole a month into the season.
To me, I know this won't happen at the beginning of the season. You might see this lineup shake out, you know, if Fowler struggled. But I would love to see Jose Martinez in right and him hitting second. I realize you have no speed up at the top, but I think our lineup, we don't have a lot of slap hitters to where you may, you know, need a guy at the top of the lineup go from first to third. I mean, you have Goldschmidt, Ozuna, and DeJong. Big bopper that can hit the gap that even a Jose Martinez can get from first to third or second to home. I just think you got a guy hitting consistently in the 300s. His defense is a liability in right field, and I understand the Fowler contract, but for me, 1 through 9, if you have Carpenter, Jose, and then Goldie, I think that is a much better lineup. Lack of speed, but I think you just have the average and power there.
And that's where I feel like these things are going to settle themselves out. And that's why we do this every year. Whenever some pitcher's coming off an injury, we always go, well, who are they going to take out of the rotation? And this is always a question for about...
Sign Keuchel.
Right. But it's always a question for about 3-4 weeks later, and what always happens? Another pitcher always gets injured, or another pitcher stinks. Like, this always happens. And that's why, look, there are definitely some question marks, but all those names that Plowsy just rang off there, whether it's Dexter Fowler, Jose Martinez, Tyler O'Neill, one of those guys is going to be really good. One of them is probably going to be bad. Yeah. I have no idea who. I don't know what we're going to get out of Dexter Fowler. I don't know what you're going to get out of Tyler O'Neill. But you have options, and I feel like those questions are going to be answered through those guys' production early in the season.
What is acceptable for Fowler? Does anybody have a
number? Well, it's all about OBP, baby. I mean,
if he got anywhere close to the, I think it was an 851 OPS in 2017 with the Cardinals. Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty good year for Dexter Fowler.
If he gets back to 360 on base, that's his career career on base average. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't think you need necessarily the power from him.
Completely
so much,
agree.
But just get on base.
Yes.
That's his job.
The text line, 855-282-8255. We'll break here in a second to get to Craig Mish, but I want to read some of your texts here. Brian from Edwardsville, Cards have just as many holes and questions besides Goldschmidt. What other position player do you take from the Cards over the Cubs? Don Jewish says, please clip off Jim enthusiastically saying, I see those holes. That sounds kind of like a morning after type text there.
We'll get him put in the rotation
it does
there.
Sound like
Craig
that.
In the CPA says, Marcel Ozuna took Waino deep the other night. Not a good sign. But Marcel Ozuna is a good hitter as well. Maybe he did a pipe shot like Jeter back in the All-Star
game. There you go.
Brian from Edwardsville again. I'm a Cards fan, but the Cubs are still the favorite by far. Anyone who doesn't think so is a sheep. And Larry the Cam Girl says Cardinals were plus 1,600 at Caesars on Friday last week to win the World Series. So plus 1,600, plus 1,400, kind of in the same
I don't think saying the Brewers are slightly better than the Cubs is saying anybody's a sheep. You know, saying the Cubs are going to be a dumpster fire, yes, you're probably overreacting and just because you hate the Cubs. For me, I think the division's the best division in baseball. And you could see maybe 2 or 3 games determine, you know, second and third and first. So
in theory,
not saying Cubs are bad, just think Milwaukee's slightly better.
Talking about differences, we're probably talking the difference between 95 wins and 91 between the three teams. I mean, it's not that big of a difference.
Brian Hoffman, any beautiful sponsors to mention before
beautiful
we take a
beautiful sponsors.
Break?
Well, this opening segment brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. Check out GatewayMSP.com for more information. We also have McBride and Son Homes. Guys, St. Louis's 4 premier home builders have teamed up with the local unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. We're happy to announce the union stimulus program is now extended into March or until funds run out. That's right. Our local unions have pooled over $1 million to help new construction home buyers build their dream homes. Buy a new McBride home in March and get $2,000 to $10,000 cash from the local unions for use at closing. It's the union stimulus program. And it's for a limited time only. Actually, you can visit any Payne family, McKelvey, Fisher and Fritchell, or McBride Home Community today for details. And, of course, the Bomarito Automotive Group, Missouri's number one automotive group. Check out bomarito.com for more information.
All right, Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll take a break. Coming back, talking it over with Craig Mish from Sirius XM Radio next on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.